Good morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Betty Knighton, and I will be your guest host along with the Palm Beach Life Planners. I'm here in our virtual studio with some of my mastermind partners, Stephanie Ebanks, Sharon Jackson, and Ann McNeil. This is our final week of hosting for now, but we will be back later. Women of Balance Mastermind Group will be hosting next week for 1 month. Perhaps we will hear from them before this broadcast is over. We are excited and energized this Saturday morning to be on the air with you. I invite you to call, text, or email a family friend and tell them we're on the air right now. Or they can join us via internet by logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or they can reach us by phone at 661-554-9219. If you desire to communicate with us while we're talking, you can join us in the chat room or you can log on through your Facebook account. Make a comment and let us know you're listening and post your questions there as well. Today we will be discussing Chapter 12, The Brain, but first we will make a few comments on that very important Chapter 11, The Subconscious Mind. Before we get started, we will ask Anne, the Master Builder, to tell us a little about the International Mastermind Association. Anne?
Thank you, Betty, and good morning to all of our radio listeners this morning on this beautiful, beautiful sunny morning in sunny South Florida. We are the Palm Beach Life Planners of the International Mastermind Association. We affectionately call the International Masterminders as IMA. The International Mastermind Association is the voice of masterminders for the entire world. We mastermind in 10 different areas of our lives: spiritually, family, financial, health, education, personal, business, or career, recreational, civic involvement, and creativity. We also mastermind our lives for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and for some of us, what will we do when we're 92 in terms of looking out at the vision of what we'd like for our lives to be about. We aspire to live a better quality of life by masterminding, which very simply is getting together a small group of individuals who serve as an accountability board of directors for your life. And we hold each other accountable in every area of our lives. And we hope that you will continue to join us every week as we mastermind our lives through walking through the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you, Anne. Okay, today we're going to, before we do a recap, we are going to tell you what the 13 steps to riches are, because Think and Grow Rich is about your steps to riches. Now, the first step is desire, the starting point of all achievement. Second step is faith, visualization, and belief in the attainment of desire. Third step is auto-suggestion, the medium for influencing the subconscious mind. Fourth step is specialized knowledge. That's personal experiences or observations. The fifth step is imagination. That's the workshop of the mind. Sixth step, organized planning. That's the crystallization of desire into action. Seventh step is decision, the mastery of procrastination. Eighth step is persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith. Ninth step is power of the mastermind. That's the driving force. Tenth step is the mystery of sex transmutation. The 11th step is the subconscious mind. That's that connecting link. 12th step is the brain. That's the broadcasting and receiving station for thought. And the 6th sense is the 13th step to riches. Now, today, we'll recap the subconscious mind quickly, and then we'll go into the 12th step. There are 9 points that I want you to remember from this chapter. And the first one is from page 212. I will give you the page numbers of each of these bullet points that I would like for you to remember from this chapter. The subconscious mind consists of a field of consciousness, and that's on page 212, in which every impulse of thought, actually that's 211, I'm sorry, that's 211. The subconscious mind consists of a field of consciousness in which every impulse of thought or sensation that reaches the objective mind through any of the five senses is classified and recorded, and from which thoughts may be recalled or withdrawn as letters may be taken from a filing cabinet. Now, on page 212, I want you to remember that you cannot entirely control your subconscious mind, but you can voluntarily hand over to it any plan, any desire, any purpose which you wish transformed into concrete form. Now, if you really want instruction for using the subconscious mind, you can always go back to chapter 3. Now, the next step, the third step I want you to remember, the third point I want you to remember, is from page 213. And it says your subconscious mind functions automatically whether you make any effort to influence it or not. That is very important to remember because it naturally suggests to you that thoughts of fear and poverty, any negative thoughts, serve as stimuli to your subconscious mind unless you master those impulses and give your subconscious mind more desirable food upon which it may feed you. Fourth point, also from page 213, says that the subconscious mind will not remain idle. If you fail to plant desires in your subconscious mind, it will feed upon the thoughts which reach it as a result of your neglect. So you've got to feed it. Now, on page 215, you will find the seven major positive emotions. There are more than seven. But these are the major positive emotions: desire, faith, love, sex, enthusiasm, romance, and hope. Those are the positive emotions. Now, likewise, on the other side of that, you have seven major negative emotions. These are the ones to be avoided at all costs. Avoid these seven emotions, and they are listed on page 216. You have the emotion of fear, jealousy, hatred, revenge, greed, superstition, and anger. Now, also on the same page, there's a very, very important statement. It tells you that positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. Now, what does that tell you? One or the other must dominate. So you have a responsibility, and your responsibility is to make sure that positive emotions constitute the dominating influence of your mind, and that's where the law of habit comes into play. Now, on page 217, at the very top, it makes another important statement. If you pray for a thing, but have fear as you pray that you may not receive it or that your prayer will not be acted upon by infinite intelligence, your prayer will have been in vain. So that tells us that when we pray, we got to pray with faith, we got to pray with belief, we got to pray knowing that our prayers are heard and that our prayers are answered. And the final point I want you to remember from this chapter is listed on page 218, and it says at the very bottom of the page, it says faith is the only known agency which will give your thoughts a spiritual nature in this way. Faith and fear make poor bedfellows. Where one is found, the other cannot exist. So before we move into chapter 12 on the brain, I'm going to give anyone an opportunity if they want to add something. Tell us what they have picked up from the subconscious mind chapter, what they have learned, what jumps out at them. you can do that now before we move on to chapter 12.
Hi, Betty. Good morning. It's Stephanie.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How are you this bright and sunny morning? And what's
I'm
Palm
doing
Beach
great.
Great.
Great,
great. Thank you. I just want to put my little two cents in about the subconscious mind and just to remember that the mind is, I mean, you have to focus on what you want. You know, that's what the subconscious is. It's like an antenna. It's like a sensor. It's like a sending signal. And when you are thinking about things, you are sending out thoughts into the airwaves, into the infinite, to God. And so the negative and the positive, like Betty said, cannot occupy the same space. So you've got to. I'm getting some feedback, but you got to be positive. So now I'll send it back over to Betty to continue.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you. It's very important. If no one else has any comments, we'll move on to the brain. Now, this is chapter 12. It starts on page 219. It is the 12th step to riches. And the brain serves as a broadcasting and receiving station for thought. This is a magnificent chapter, because it is about an absolutely awesome, magnificent organ. This is a very important part of our body, and this is a chapter you may want to read several times to make sure that you pull everything out of that chapter that you need to pull out of it. So we're going to start on page 219. Excuse me. Now, he starts out by stating, Napoleon Hill, that more than 20 years ago, I, working in conjunction with Dr. Alexander Graham Bell and Dr. Elmer R. Gates, observed that every human brain is both a broadcasting and a receiving station for the impulses of thought. Now, we have to be reminded that this book was written many, 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 many years ago, because if you can imagine, he worked in conjunction with Alexander Graham Bell. That tells us how long ago this was written, and the facts are just as relevant today as they were then, and we know even a little bit more about the operation of the brain than he knew then. So people keep learning and learning, and research keeps being done, and more facts are brought out about this magnificent part of our body. Now, Napoleon here says, under the right circumstances, and in a fashion that may be likened to that employed by the radio broadcasting principle, every human brain is capable of picking up thought impulses which originate in the brains of others. Now, it took me a while to wrap my mind around this statement, because he said every human brain, not some, but every human brain is capable of picking up thought impulses which originate in the brains of others. So he's trying to make this simple for us to understand by comparing the brain to a radio broadcasting system. So he's going to tell us what goes out, what comes in. So in that third paragraph, he says, in connection with the statement of the preceding paragraph, compare and consider the description of the creative imagination as outlined in the discussion on imagination in chapter 5. Now, just quickly, let us run back to page 92 real quick, because he's mentioning creative imagination here, and this was really brought up in chapter 5, the fifth step to riches on imagination. And under the two forms of imagination, the first being synthetic imagination, he talks about creative imagination. Now, he states on page 92, under creative imagination, through the faculty of creative imagination, the finite human mind has direct communication with infinite intelligence. And infinite intelligence to me is God. It is the faculty through which hunches and inspirations are received. Now, you heard people say, I had a hunch that that was going to happen. I just felt like that was going to happen. Or my mind told me this was going to be the case. Or my spirit told me this is going to be the case. We've heard people make those statements. Well, it is by this faculty, creative imagination, that all basic or new ideas are handed over to us. It is through this faculty that thought vibrations or influences from the minds of others are received. It is through this faculty that one individual may tune in or communicate with the subconscious mind of others. Now, let's see. Also, it says the creative imagination becomes more alert, more receptive to influences from the sources mentioned in proportion to its development through you. So we have to use it. Now, this statement is significant. Ponder over it before passing on. So we need to come back and read this statement over and over again. The whole book is like that. There are always passages that we need to go back and read and reread because they are so very important. So now they were talking about creative imagination there. Now, the creative imagination is the receiving set of the brain, which processes thoughts released by the brains of others. It is the agency of communication between one's own conscious or reasoning mind and then the four sources from which one may receive thought stimuli. These are also mentioned in chapter 3, but they're also mentioned here on this page. First one is infinite intelligence. The second one is one's own subconscious mind. The third is the highly energized conscious mind of another person. And the fourth is the subconscious storehouse of another person. Now, that takes you into discussion of the sixth sense. Now, another group will be discussing that sixth sense, which is the 13th step to riches. But if you just quickly turn to page 193 in chapter 10, it talks about how genius is developed through the sixth sense. Now, let me just read a little here from page 193 for you. It says, the reality of a sixth sense in human beings has been well established. And that sixth sense is creative imagination. That's what it is, creative imagination. The faculty of creative imagination is one that the majority of people never use. Just think of that. Some people never use the faculty of creative imagination. And if they use it all, usually it's an accident. So it's just a small number of people who use this with deliberation. And if you notice on page 193, they have that in all caps, with deliberation, purpose, and forethought. And we're talking about the faculty of creative imagination. Those who use it voluntarily and with understanding of its functions are, by definition, geniuses. Wow. See what it says there? Those who use it, we're talking about creative imagination, those who use it voluntarily and with understanding of how it works, these are the people who are considered geniuses. They're at the top of their game, whatever profession they're in. If they're painting the Sistine Ceiling, if they're impressionist painters like Jean-Claude Monet, if whatever it is, they just seem to have more than other people. But it's just that they have taken what's available to everybody, and they have used it with deliberation, with purpose and a forethought. Now, if anyone wants to join in, you can.
Betty.
Yes.
Betty.
Yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Ann. Yes, I just wanted to make a comment, and going back to the six steps to riches, one of the comments that Napoleon Hill often makes, he says, any dominating idea, plan, or purpose held in the mind through repetition and through emotionalized with desire, a burning desire for its realization, is taken over by the subconscious mind or the brain and is acted upon by whatever natural and logical means that may allow it to be attained. And so when you think about it, the imagination, the brain, the subconscious, and you go back to the whole idea of having an affirmation or a vision or a goal or a purpose or mission for your life, and we think about people who keep that burning in their minds in a positive sense, and then also in a negative sense, you think about the hypochondriac. You know, something's always
right.
wrong, and eventually, you know, we all draw that which we think. So I just wanted to just interject that, because when we're listening, oftentimes we don't think about how does this relate to my life. And so
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to just encourage our listeners to just think about what is it that, you know, you may have in your life that you can share with us, maybe call in and share how this particular section of the book has impacted your life. All right. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you,
Excuse me,
yes?
Betty. This is Sharon Hanson. And I wanted to add some things to what you had already said, in that you've talked about the different steps. And in former shows, you've indicated, and this is very important to say over and over and over again, that you can't miss a step. You can't do the first step and then not do anything and then come back and try and hit the third step. Oh, that sounds more interesting. That sounds more exciting. No. First step, second step, on to the last step. And every direction that it gives you, that's the reason why you have maps. Because if you make the wrong turn, you're off course. And the way to get back on the course is to course correct. And that means to follow through. And that's something that you had said that's very, very important. The other thing I wanted to make sure is that you had indicated that the brain is a receiving and a broadcasting station, which means the only way that you can connect is if you're on the right station, the right line, the right way of receiving. I heard, this is years and years and years ago, people may like him, people may not, but this was a true statement. Oral Roberts said, there are thoughts, the infinite is always creating. There are always thoughts and recommendations and things coming to you all the time. But if you're not on the right channel to receive them, they go right by. Great ideas that are going to make you $1 million go right by. Great ideas for you to bless the next person, to bless your families, to bless your neighborhood, go right by because you're on the wrong channel. Because you're focusing on the several of the seven negative emotions. Because you have chosen not to participate and operate on all the positive emotions. Nothing good and nothing bad. It's either light or it's dark. And so I just wanted to make sure that people understood, yeah, we give you the steps. Yes, it tells you about everything that you need to do, but absolutely you must do it all. And you can't miss a step. Even if you do 6 and 7 steps and decide, I am going to waddle in anger and anything of the other negative emotions, unforgiveness, you've missed. You've got to go back. You have to release all the negative and go back to recapture where you were. So that's it's very interesting. You're very good. It's just I want to make sure that I got that out. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that insight, Sharon. You're absolutely right. Things must be done in order, and you've got to be consistent in your efforts. You can't do things out of order. It's just like it says in the book that some people pray only after everything else has failed. I mean, why not pray first? Why not pray before you even start the task? And when you do pray, pray with belief that it's going to be done or it's going to be given or the prayer is going to be answered. So I think this creative imagination is very, very important, and we need to make sure we understand it. That's why I know I will be going back and reading this chapter over and over again. It says on the bottom of page 219 that creative imagination is the mechanism by which intuition and hunches seem to spring out of thin air and by which two or more people working closely together in a state of intense concentration and focus seem to anticipate each other's next thoughts, actions, insights, and even actual words. That's why Napoleon Hill found it very necessary to be a part of a mastermind group, people who thought like he did. They could sit around a conference table and just glean from each other's thoughts and thought processes. He even had an imaginary board where he could actually talk with people who weren't sitting there and sort of pick up what they would have said or what they would have advised him to do. And so this is very important to work, be able to work closely with other people. And when we say we picked something out of thin air, it really didn't come out of thin air. It was our creative imagination at work. So when you hear people say, oh, I had a hunch, it's like there's a name for it. It's creative imagination. Now, for example, take a basketball team. They're on the court. They're playing as a team. They have to anticipate what their team member is going to do, not only their team member, but somebody from the opposite team, especially if you're guarding the play. You've got to anticipate if he's going to try to go right so you can go with him and guard him. So it's like you're picking up thought impulses from other people's minds. Like, it seems like it's just coming out of there, thin air, but that is an explanation for every thought and every action. When, on page 220, it says, when thus highly stimulated or stepped up, the mind becomes more receptive. Yes? Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Before you go too far about the hunch, I just want to just stay up for 1 second, because a lot of times we miss hunches. And one of the things that Napoleon Hill says, that a hunch is our subconscious mind oftentimes trying to get an idea over to us. And oftentimes we just skip right over it. We're, you know, moving too fast, but we don't, you know, slow down long enough. Not only to just pay attention, but oftentimes to just stop it, write it down, or maybe in our prayer time or meditation time or journaling time, just give some quiet time to those hunches and begin to see how they relate to whatever it is you're praying about or whatever it is that's on your vision board or that's a part of, you know, your vision for your life. I just want to just interject that thing.
You know what, Ann, that's yes, go on, Sharon.
I'm sorry, you respond to Ann, and then I'd like to come back.
Okay, I was going to say, Ann is absolutely right, because sometimes we just look over hunches. I can recall my husband telling me that years ago when he was still in Germany, he had this hunch about putting the little lights in the back of the car, you know, where that back this back window is, but he never did anything about it. And then years later when he saw it, he thought, oh, I had that idea years ago, but I just didn't pay it any attention. And it happens to all of us. All of us have thought of things, and we didn't act on it. We had the hunch or the inspiration or whatever you want to call it, but we didn't act on it. And then later someone else comes along and acts on it, and in a lot of cases, they monetize it, make all kinds of money. We're thinking, I could have been rich if I had acted on my idea. I had that idea long before that person. But when it comes to us, as Ann says, sometimes we overlook it, but we need to act on it. Okay, Sharon.
You know, sometimes we do things automatically, and we need to look at what we do automatically as a function of our life. I'm thinking about when you were talking about teams. Teams do are successful because they go over the plays. They have playbooks. They read them. They memorize them. They practice them. And then there's a bit something that we all do, not all of us, but people that are parents. they anticipate what their children are going to do. And the reason why they can anticipate that is because you focus on your children. You think about your children. And when those thoughts come, you act on them because of love and because that is a piece of you. How many times, my mother couldn't explain it, but how many times did she call us when we were away at school and said, I woke up and you were on my mind. What is going on? Are you ill? Mm. That's what came to my mind. And, yeah, sick as a dog. Sick as a dog. But my mother had no idea. I was in Atlanta. Mom was in Illinois. But how many times did I see parents? I'd be in college having breakfast with some of my friends, and they would get up and go do something. Mother wouldn't even turn around and say, honey, don't do such and such and such. And I'd see them reaching just to do it. And she'd look at me and say, I know my child. Because that she is connected. She thinks about them. She prays about them. She meditates about her children. And it is a natural thing. If we always do what comes naturally and extend it to the rest of our lives, how magnificent would it be? It is not hard. Everything that we're talking about is not hard. That's the other point that you had made weeks and weeks ago. None of this is hard, but it requires consistency. It requires dedication, which is one of the reasons mothers and fathers understand their children and understand the movements of their children, because they have consistency in their love. They have dedication into speaking into their future. I just wanted to make sure people understood. You do it naturally during the course of the day. It is a fact of you tapping into that for the rest of your life, for other areas of your life, and doing it consistently. Thank you, Betty. Did I fall off?
Sharon, did you finish?
Yes, I finished. Thank you.
Okay. Stephanie's going to do a commercial. Stephanie? Well, I thought.
Good morning. Hi, this is Stephanie. You're listening to the International Mastermind Association. We are exploring the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill each and every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders with an S. You can listen to this and other shows anytime on the web or join us live by calling in on the show at 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we are talking, just press 1. Or you can also join us in the chat room, or you can log on through your Facebook account. All right, back to Betty and continuation with the brain on chapter 12.
Thank you, Stephanie. I want to comment. Sharon was saying how parents touch into the thoughts of their children, and I want to give an example. I remember one particular instance where one of my daughters was working on a routine for a competition, and I could see her frustration. I anticipated her thoughts. So I prepared myself for what I knew was coming without her saying anything to me. So when she did say, I can't do this routine, I was already prepared because I had anticipated that, and I had cut the word can't out of the dictionary, and I asked her to go find it. She couldn't find it because there was a hole there where the word should have been. So it's true that sometimes we can just pick up on what our children are thinking because we are, like Sharon said, so in tune to their thoughts. And this is part of what Napoleon Hill is talking about here. Now, we're still on page 220, and it says that thought manifests itself as electrical energy within the human brain. I mean, this brain is just magnificent. I'm just amazed at the brain. Only highly intensified or energized thought impulses are transmitted from one brain to another through this mysterious and still not understood process. So Napoleon Hill is admitting here that we know something about the brain, but we still don't know everything about the brain. The brain is probably the most researched organ in the human body, and there are volumes of books written on the brain. There are people who specialize in studies of the brain. Now, thought, which has not been modified or stepped up by any of the major emotions, is the only type of thought which passes from one brain to another through the broadcasting machinery of the human brain. He's comparing this whole process.
Any callers on the line who'd like to make a
comment?
Okay,
well, yes, let's hear from the callers.
Annette, you're on the line. Go ahead, please. Annette, good morning. You're live with Palm Beach Lifeline. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Annette. You're on the air.
You know, talking about intuition, and that's what it is. You know, we get these thoughts, these ideas into our heads, and not realizing that these thoughts and these ideas are coming from, you know, Christ himself. And I guess it was about 4 months ago.
Hello?
Stephanie?
Yeah, I'm on the show, the Blog Talk Show. We're on till 9 o'clock. And then I'm heading down to a better investing class. But the show's going to be off probably about 20 minutes. I'll call you as I'm driving.
Oh, my God. What is going on?
Oh, really? Great. Okay, bye-bye.
Annette, are you still on? You can go on. We had a little interruption there. Annette, are you still on? Stephanie? Annette, are you still on?
Elizabeth, we have Isabella who would like to make a comment.
Okay, go on, Isabella. Okay.
You are
live
on the show with Palm Beach Life Planners. Go ahead, please.
Yes, again, this is Izzy. And just to piggyback on the thoughts of the mind, I was looking at, as a matter of fact, I made a copy to bring with me Napoleon Hill's thought for today. He said, know your own mind and you will be as wise as the ages. When you take charge of your mind, you take charge of your life. When you understand your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and desires, you can direct them to any end you choose. Wisdom comes from taking the time to study yourself, to know why you are the person you are. Only you can come to understand the complex inner workings of your own mind, and you must be willing to spend the time and effort that gaining such insight requires. So when those thoughts come to your mind, they're not a fly-by-night thought. You just have to take time and carefully process that thought. And that's where you contact yourself, you attach yourself with the Creator. You know, I think about it. God was in balance. He had a direct thought and plan for what he's going to do. And that's why it's so important for us to read his word so we can get our thoughts aligned. That's all my comments. I'm finished. Hello? Hello?
Hi, good morning. Betty, are you still there? Hello?
Stephanie. I didn't hear Mariama or the previous caller.
Okay. Dr. Williams, go ahead, please. You're on the line with the Palm Beach Life Planners. We seem to be experiencing some technical difficulties. Dr. Williams, you're on the line. Dr. Williams is live with us from Geneva, Switzerland.
Good morning, Vice Planner. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Palm Beach Life. How are you? What a fun show.
We are good. Go ahead. You're kind of cutting in and out. Good
morning, everyone.
Yes.
Good morning, Life Planners. What a fantastic show.
I guess we are having a little technical difficulties. Your mic is open. You can go ahead with your, if you want to say something, Dr. Williams. I know you're calling.
Betty and Anne-Marie. Yes, and Anne-Marie. Good morning. What a fantastic show. My friends, I haven't been a show, but it's been fantastic. I'm in Switzerland. Lagarde is really plating all we're saying. I thought I'd bring two examples of this pop using the mic.
Sorry, you're cutting in and out. We cannot. Mariana.
Stephanie, can you go to the next caller? She's calling from such a long distance until we're getting.
Yes, we're losing you, so Dr. Williams. So you're cutting in and out. So we're going to go on to the next caller. Betty, if you continue with the show, and I'll find out who the next caller is available.
Okay. Thanks to all of the callers. I know Mariama Williams, Dr. Williams, is calling from such a long distance until we're just having some broadcasting problems. Okay. Now, we're talking about the list of those human emotions that affect us. And one of them, the emotion of sex, stands at the head of the list. Now, we know we covered that in Chapter 10, but it stands at the head of the list of human emotions as far as intensity and driving force are concerned. The brain, which has been stimulated by the emotion of sex, is more highly energized than it is not when that emotion is dormant or absent. We have seen the impact of this particular emotion with some of the great men of the world, great in their different fields, and we know that when this emotion was not properly under control, when it was not properly channeled or given adequate and appropriate expression, it created problems for that person, and in some cases it brought up a great person from the top all the way down to the bottom, so it has to be energized properly. Now, it says the result of sex transmutation is the increase of this energizing effect on thoughts and thought processes to such a pitch that the creative imagination becomes highly receptive to ideas. It's waiting on us to feed it with ideas, which it seems to literally pluck out of thin air. Now, when the brain is operating in this highly energized state, it not only attracts thoughts and ideas released by other brains, but it also gives to its own thought that feeling which is essential before those thoughts. And I am quoting this exactly as Napoleon Hill stated it on page 220. Those thoughts will be picked up and acted upon by one's own subconscious mind. So you see, what I call the subconscious mind and the creative imagination, the dynamic duo, because they work together to create powerful results. Now, one is the sending station, and one is the receiving station.
Oh, boy.
Now, we'll see that the broadcasting principle is the factor through which we mix feeling or emotion. And remember, we do have to mix feeling and emotion, even when we're doing our affirmations. If we're just reading it, just blah, 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 you really have to do it with feeling. You've got to do it with some emotion, some passion. Otherwise, you're wasting your time and you're just calling words. But it says on the bottom of page 220, the subconscious mind is the sending station of the brain. Okay, so we have that concept, right? The subconscious mind is the sending station of the brain. Through which
and
thought impulses are broadcast. Go on,
Stephanie. We have another caller. Annette, she was trying to make a comment earlier, and she got cut off, so she would like to make a comment.
Go on.
Annette,
okay.
You're live with the Palm Beach Life Planners. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to hear you all this morning. To me, a word for what we're talking about is intuition, and, you know, intuition comes from the Creator. And it's very important that when we get these power thoughts or these intuitions, that we follow up on these power thoughts. About a month, I think it was in August, when we had our earthquake here in Virginia, I had received my insurance bill from my house, telling me how much money I paid for house insurance, how much I paid for personal property tax in Virginia. And they had this pamphlet in the envelope, and it talked about water insurance, flood insurance. And I said, I don't really need flood insurance because I'm not in a floodplain, and my house slopes so the water goes down. Anyway, so that was probably in August. And in September, we had a storm here in Virginia, and the storm caused so much flooding. So I was at work, and I get this phone call, and from a friend of mine, he said, you know, you need to come home. You know, your house is flooding. And I got to tell you something. I got home, and I looked on the inside of the house. I couldn't see as to where it would be coming from. And I went outside, went in the backyard and to the backside, and there was about 4 feet of water standing at the side door. And I really learned from that situation. When you get these intuitions, you get these power thoughts, that you really have to act upon that, because those power thoughts can cost you. They can cost you a lot of money. And so just acting upon your power thoughts is the best thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Annette. Now back to Dr. Knighton with the brain.
Thank you, and thanks to Annette for those comments, excellent comments. The subconscious mind, as I said, is the sending station of the brain through which thought impulses are broadcast. The creative imagination is the receiving set. So we have the two sets. We have the sending set, which is the subconscious mind, and we have the receiving set, which is the creative imagination. This is the dynamic duo. Now, this is through which thought impulses are picked up. Now, along with the important factors of the subconscious mind and the function of the creative imagination, we know that together they constitute the sending and receiving sets. That's our mental broadcasting equipment. He made an analogy to broadcasting, the radio broadcast, so we can understand the actual process here. So now, add to that auto-suggestion. Now, that's the medium by which you may put into operation your broadcasting statement. So we have the equipment. We have the subconscious mind. Okay. We have the creative imagination. Now, we have to put it into operation. And to do that, we use auto-suggestion. Now, we know in Chapter 3, we talked about auto-suggestion. And just to go back real quickly and say that auto-suggestion is a term which applies to all suggestions and all self-administered stimuli which reach one's mind through the five senses. And if you go back to page 65, you'll see that. It's very helpful from time to time to go back and review some of these chapters as we're reading a chapter. If it references an earlier chapter, it's very helpful to go back and read that chapter. Also on page 65, it says, actually 67, I'm so sorry, 67, no thought whether it be negative or positive, can enter the subconscious mind without the aid of the principle of auto-suggestion. So you see why that is so important to the receiving and the sending equipment, our mental broadcasting system. So when we take the instructions described in Chapter 3 on auto-suggestion, we're shown the method by which we take that first step to riches, which is desire, how we transmute that into its monetary equivalent. Now, this may sound a little complicated, but it's really not, because he's made it very, very simple for us here. Operation of your mental broadcasting station is a comparatively simple procedure. There are just three factors you have to be concerned with. Three factors. One is the subconscious mind. Two is creative imagination. And three is auto-suggestion. That's it. Okay? So that's the stimuli through which we put these three forces into action. And it all starts with that first step to riches. It all starts with desire. Everything starts with desire. And page 28, we'll talk about desire. You know, that was the first chapter. And if you need to review that, you can go back to page 28 to review that. Now, if we have any other comments or questions, this would be a good time to jump in. Otherwise, we'll talk about some of the things that are in.
Hi, Betty. We don't have any callers on the line right now, but we just want to remind our listeners that if they want more information on the International Mastermind Association, they may visit us on the web at www.internationalmasterminders.com or on the Facebook, International Masterminders Association. Follow us by liking us on our page. And the name of the book again is Think and Grow Rich, and the original version, Restored and Revised, by Napoleon Hill. Again, you're listening to us on the Blog Talk Radio each and every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. at blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or you may call into the show at 661-554-9219. And next week, please join the Women of Power as they take over from us, Palm Beach Life Planners, and begin their next series on the brain. They will continue where we leave off. And please join us next week, Saturday at 8 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Back to you, Dr. Knighton.
Okay, I think we have a couple of minutes left where we'll go into The Greatest Forces Are Intangible. That's on page 221. Napoleon Hill states in that first paragraph under that topic that the world has been brought to the very borderline of an understanding of the forces that are intangible and unseen. In other words, we are almost ready to understand what is actually going on here with the intangibles. Throughout history, people have depended too much upon their physical senses and have limited their knowledge to physical things they could see, touch, weigh, and measure. So in other words, if it didn't come via the five senses, we didn't pay it any attention. But we have to go beyond the physical. That's why we're talking about subconscious mind, creative imagination. It goes beyond the physical, and it takes us into another realm, because if you think about all the great people who have accomplished so much, they were deeply into that other realm, not just the physical realm. So it says in that second paragraph, we are now entering the most marvelous of all ages, an age which would teach us something of the intangible forces of the world about us. Now, if they were entering that marvelous age at the time he wrote that book, we're not entering anymore. We are in it. We are deeply in the marvelous age. They were entering. We are in it. Now, we can learn as we pass through this age that the other self is more powerful than that physical self we see when we look in the mirror. That person in the mirror that looks back at us, that's our physical self. But it's that other self. It's that self we cannot physically see. That's the self that propels us to greatness. Now, sometimes people speak lightly of the intangibles, and sometimes people do speak lightly of things they don't understand. If you can't see it, smell it, feel it, touch it, taste it, then we don't bother with it. But when we hear such people speak, it should remind us that all of us are controlled by forces which are unseen and intangible. The things that we don't see are sometimes the most important things of all. That's why it's very, very important that we understand all of the contents espoused by Napoleon Hill in this book. And it's not a book that you can read one time, two times, three times, four times, and pick it all up. It's a book that must be read over and over and over again. He states on the bottom of page 221 that the whole human race does not have the power to cope with, not control, the intangible force wrapped up in the rolling waves of the oceans. And just think about that. Think about those magnificent waves as they roll to the shore. We don't have the power to cope with that intangible force. We don't have the ability to even understand some of the things that we know exist, the forces of gravity, for example. Think about that. Think about the power of the force of gravity. This world is little balls suspended in midair. Doesn't fall, doesn't tumble. Just think, we don't have the power to control it. Sometimes we can't even understand it. But we are entirely subservient to the intangible force that comes with the thunderstorm. We live in Hurricane Alley in South Florida. We see the forces of nature that we can neither explain nor understand and definitely can't control. So, and we're just as helpless in the presence of the intangible forces of electricity that we don't understand, because we don't understand where it comes from or what is its ultimate purpose. There's a scientific explanation for some things, but really the down-deep understanding is not always there for the intangible. Now, this doesn't mean the end of our ignorance and connection with things unseen and intangible. We do not understand the intangible force and intelligence wrapped up in the soil and the resources of the earth. And here's a statement on page 22 that he has italicized. The force which provides us with every morsel of food we eat, every article of clothing we wear, every dollar we carry in our pockets. Forces that we don't understand. But this brain, it is an amazing organ, simply amazing. And when you hear people, scientists, explain the complexity of it and how all the parts fit together and how everything is in order, you have scientists that study this brain. It's their full-time job to study it. And right now, well, actually, when he wrote this book, they were in the kindergarten stage of their studies. Many years have passed now, so I would guess that they're probably in the middle school stage of their studies. They know a little bit more now than the scientists did during Napoleon Hill day. So it's just amazing. And it says here that they haven't covered enough knowledge to know that the central switchboard of the human brain, the number of lines which connect the brain cells one with another, equals, listen to this now, equals the figure 1 followed by 15 billion zeros. That figure is stupendous. So I just want to encourage all of us. We have about 80 seconds left. I just want to encourage us that we need to dip deeply into this spring of knowledge, because it is powerful. The concepts are powerful. And not just knowing these concepts, but if we start using these concepts, just like I said, that very, very few people really, really use the power of their brain. But if we use it, oh, my goodness, it will propel us to great heights. So I want to wrap this up by saying thanks to all of the listeners. You've been listening to IMA, International Mastermind, Blog Talk Radio. And next week we will be hosted by Women of Balance. They will continue with the brain and maybe perhaps go into the sixth sense. I don't know. But please join us next week at 8 o'clock for Blog Talk Radio. And thanks to all of you out there listening, all of you who had comments, all of you who just listen in quietly. Thank you very much. We appreciate your participation. So we want to say goodbye. Have a great Saturday. Have a great weekend. Thank you very much. And goodbye, everyone.